All right. Awesome. So let's get to mechs from Counter-Strike here. So
I chose the Charger. All right. Yeah, this is you look at this card and you're like, "Oh, what in the world? Karita only inner spear card. Mm-hmm. It plays like a heavy at 80 tons, but it's medium speed. That's fantastic. And has 3 mm-hmm. armor 6 structure. That is very durable. You look at the 3 armor 6 structure comparatively to that Man of War Prime from the clans, that's a 3-7 and you're paying 5 for it. In this case, you also get a jump. Go looking at you, risky combat jump. Missile 1 is the bane of every deck. You're just going to throw missiles at the stockpile. You never know what a missile is going to be. And you're already playing assembly and politics. You add munitions and tactics as well. It's a 4 resource deck. That's probably your missile's only probably going to be doing damage on a 1 or a 2. That 2 politics buyout can be awkward, but because Karita is usually going to be an AT deck. But there are politics cards that are worthwhile in Karita. Especially later on, you looking at their High Command card or Takashi's Legacy. Those are both politic buyout cards from later sets, and they both give a nice damage boost. It's a good chassis for Krita pilots to be on because it's medium speed. It's only going to be hunted absent a Khan, Vlad, or a single combat because it's Krita. They can't stop it by fast units, and it's really resilient. I give it a 6 for Krita decks.
I think it's tying you down too much with the politics buyout. If you want to make the most of the missile, you've got to put the munitions in there. Otherwise, it's a wasted 2/3 of a point of damage every now and again. I think the jump's quite nice and the 3-6 chassis is great. Mm-hmm. But I believe that when they reproduced this in Commander's Edition, it went to A&T. Which made it much, much better. So I wouldn't play with this version. I would consider the AT version from Commander's Edition. But I think for 4 cost for Karita, maybe there are other choices. Maybe I prefer my Grand Dragon at a 2/6/3 overheat 2+1 as an example in the medium speed bracket, or some of the other cards that are available. That are just as durable. I know the Marek Huron Warrior is a 1/8, so similar amounts of survivability, shall we say, just in different quantities. I'm not as fan of this as much as Gustav is. I'd give it a 4 or a 5.
Gustav, we were tossing a 6 at it.
Yeah, I like it at a 6.
Awesome. All right, so coming up, we have the Cyclops.
One of my choices, again with Crusade, again with Counter-Strike, everyone's looking at this and thinking, what's going on here? It's a 3 with a 2L buyout, which generally was not the flavor of the month. And arguably until Arsenal came along, where there are lots of L&M buyout mechs, that this actually probably came or became a much better unit. It's durable at a 2/6. It hasn't got a great deal of damage with 2, but that overheat of 4+3 can really help. If we go back to the Vicious Kick that we mentioned earlier, this is a candidate for Vicious Kick. And it fills that 3 cost slot, which I don't know what it is. It's the clan and inner sphere. There seems to be a bit of a question mark in that 3 resource bracket. There's nothing solid on either side. I think in the right deck, this could be quite useful. If you go with a red line pilot from one of the later expansions, it can get to the Magic 7. Why it's got a red line pilot, I'm not sure, because it's running an AC-20 and you thought maybe it should have been Alpha Strike, but
yeah,
that's the way it is. And it's a big, stonking 90-tonner, which for some of the other cards later in the game that start to look more at tonnage, like for Vicious Kick, they have benefits. I don't think Gustav's going to rate it as high as that, but we'll see.
No, I'm definitely not going to rate it that high. It is subject to a hunt down. It's a slow unit for 3. If I was playing an inner sphere and I was looking for 3 drops, I would much more willing, especially in Steiner and Davian, to be playing my Wolfhound for a three drop without that pesky logistics buyout. So that's where I'd be playing. I'd probably be, that is my go-to three drop for the Inner Sphere.
And if you're I'm not playing Steiner and Davian?
Yeah, there's problems out there. Probably a Spectre at three drop. I like the Spectre at 0-6-2 with jump, risky combat jump, and ECM. So that's where I play my I play four Spectres over four Cyclopses. But later on, those 90 tons make a difference. And with the red line pilot, you can get to seven. I still would rather have fast units at three.
And moving on, we are back into clan with the Dasher B.
Yeah, the Dasher B's got a lot of cool things going on. Of course, it costs twice the value of Mr. Spanky. It's got a tactics buyout rather than assembly, so you're paying 4 plus 2T. It has ECM. At an O2, that's pretty great because it allows it to survive a rocky gorge, and all the fast little dashers that attack with it can get the plus 1 armor as well. It has AP, so it's dealing plus 1 damage to any other target but a mech. So it's basically a 4 if you're hunting a stockpile or hunting a resource. And, of course, it does dash, so it'll come right back out. Plays really well with elemental points. So for 5 cost, T and L, you can get a dashing 7 damage against a resource between the, actually 8, because the elemental points all have AP as well. So you can be doing 8 damage against a resource. So even that field construction sites can be scrapped to a Dasher B and a elemental point. So I rank it a 5. It can see play, just not as much as Mr. Spanky, its little brother.
And what's that AP stand for? You know?
I don't know.
Is it anti-personnel or armor?
Anti-personnel. Like, I think it's anti-personnel because you're thinking about flamethrowers and you're thinking about machine guns is what you're thinking about when you think AP.
Okay. I'm just saying, that's where my mind went to, but if it does it to a site as well, then I was like, okay, wait, that doesn't work.
But maybe command cards that are people, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that. All right. Mark, what do you think about Dasher B here?
It's a lot to pay for something that could die very quickly.
Mm.
If this hits the table, then it's going to die to a Dasher Prime, which is 2 cost. And for me, that's better. I've got better value out of my 2 resources than you have out of your 4. Yeah, I can see where Gus is going with killing command cards and other things like that. I think the rating of 5 is probably about fair. You won't see it these days because it costs too much for what it does. Dasher Prime has got the throne in that respect. It might make an appearance in the odd Invading Clans deck, if only because of the T buyout. Most of them run T with probably logistics. So it has a use there, which is why a 5 is probably a fair score for it.
All right, coming up, we're going heavy this time. Daishi B.
Yeah, this is probably Mark's,
the most baby. Affordable, the most affordable of the Daishis.
It's Omni-mech. The first Daishi that you actually stood a chance of getting on the table, and that was under extreme circumstances. It's a 12, 3A, 3L, 4 armor, 11 structure, 7 damage with an overheat of 6 to itself and an additional 4. Yeah, it's the cheap one. It is the prodigal son in that respect. However, if you can build it right, this is the Daishi that you build first. And then there's a card in Mech Warrior called Omni Mech Podcase that you can use to turn this little thing into Widowmaker or any of the other Daishis that you particularly want.
And that card, the Omni Mech Cash is it lets you replace any mech with a different version of that same mech, right? Yes. So you're just using it to upgrade.
Yeah, you pay the difference in price by scrapping cards. But arguably, this is how you can get a turn 3 Widowmaker on the table. It's a hell of a combo, but it's doable. But I thought, you know, in normal play, it's not going to hit the table.
Ever.
Ever. You know, it's too slow to get there. 12 cost. By the time you've built that, the game's probably over. If you build a deck around it, then it stands a chance. But that deck is never going to win a tournament, not unless you get incredibly good luck. It's one of those decks that's reliable, or you can pull the combo off about a third of the time. So if it was normal, it's a 2, only because it's the cheap one and you can get it on the table. If you build a deck around it and exploit that, you might say it's a 6, only because you can use it.
Yeah, you could pay 6 with double overtime and have that down turn 2, turn 3, pretty consistently if you have it in your hand with the field construction side. So Mark's deck allows you to have that Daishi down, but it's just not consistent enough to see competitive play. But for the gimmick, it really is a high moment. If you're a Timmy out there that wants to have that Daishi in play, it's the first one to hit the table in constructed play. So that's... it feels good to have a Daishi. I give it a 2 or 1. It's binder fodder otherwise.
Got it. Well, it still makes me cry that kind of the bigger mechs aren't as viable in the game. You can't see them as much because, I wish the mechanics were that it made sense that you could get 1 or 2, on a deck in a game. At least that would be thematic, but, even that's a stretch. All right, moving on. We got the Fenris B.
This is the backbone of the Invading Clans Wolf decks. It is a 5-cost, 1 assembly buyout. So even if you don't have assembly, you're still getting a fast mech at a 1/6/4 chassis. It combos greatly with other 3-damage attack fast mechs. Looking at you, little Mr. Spanky. It's the magic 7 to kill, 6 structure, 1 armor. This is why Fenris chassis is so popular and better than the Dragonfly, cheaper than the Lanners. It's a 9 for me. It's a fantastic card. It's a common slot, so you can get these cards really cheap, and it's extremely durable. It's got that 4 attack, powerful, still sees play in competitive decks. It's a 9.
And that's cousin to is Fenris Prime, which is kind of a key card in the game as a benchmark clan. What do you think, Mark?
I think 9 is a bit generous, personally. If you look at later parts of the game, it got replaced with the Phantom A. I think at this point in time, it's a good, strong, fast mech. 5 is a little on the high side, but it doesn't dash. But at that point in time, it was good. It was solid. The 4 is definitely a bonus. I'd probably put it about an 8, to be honest. And nowadays, you tend not to see it. The Phantoms with the dash ability are much more preferable than paying for this and having it sit there.
Gotcha.
So decent enough at the time, but superseded.
And then moving on back into the Assault on the range. So we have Gladiator D. Pretty card. I like the art on this one. It's a rare. Pretty sure. Is it a rare or an uncommon?
I think it's uncommon at 11 cost. So it's not a rare. It has a huge base attack at 9, very resilient at 310. And you're going to see a 95-ton mech jump. So you can get initiative off that assault mech. So those 95-tonners, they've got ups. 11 cost buyout for a 9 base attack. It's a lot to pay. But right now, if you were to play it in Counter-Strike, it'd be way too slow. But if you're to play it in an ICF Merchant Cast deck, an Invading Clan deck, it's a big mech deck kind of card because it has no tactics, no munitions, no assembly buyouts. It's a great top end for Ghostbearer Invading Clans. If you can play an unopposed on that, that's 18 damage. That's what you're looking at to end a game or an inside job. That's what you're looking at to end a game. It has no long range option if blocked, which is kind of sad. But if we're looking at it in Counter-Strike, you're never going to get it out. It's probably a 2. But if you're looking at Invading Clans and we're in the land of ICF and Merchant Cast, it's up there at a 6.
Mark?
Yeah, pretty much agree. 11 costs for 9 damage isn't bad, especially when you compare it to some of the other options in that region, like the Masakaris. No asset buyout is great. Jump's a nice bonus. But these days, way too slow, unless you've got that resource engine to support throwing it out on turn 3 or 4, which is doable. I'm not sure if I'd pick it over 1 or 2 other options, just because the others might have something like long range that, just push a few through. And let's face it, with 9 damage, most things die on 7 or 8, so where does the extra go? If there's a second mech, it's going to bounce off the armor, whereas a couple of long range just to punch through to the stockpile and kill the mech would be absolutely ideal. So 6 is pretty fair in my opinion.
And what were those other better options?
Off the top of my head, I'd have to go and have a look. If you take Ghost Bear out, then there are others in there. You think about later expansions, things like crossbows, things like Mad Cats, which are medium speed or moderate speed. You can get a 299 or a 297. The Mad Cat B is 9, 1A, 1M, and a 297. That'll kill a resource. It doesn't have the long range options, but then if I'm killing the resource, I don't need them. So it is what it is. I worry a little about slow these days.
Agree. Yeah. Speaking of slow, the next one's another one of my choices, but I just love the art. I really like the King Crab.
Are we talking of the original art or the upgraded art here?
The upgraded art. Okay. But I do like the King Crab as a mech. It unfortunately has Alpha Strike rather than Overheat, and Alpha Strike cost-wise is prohibitive because an Alpha Strike mech, as everybody knows that's played this game, is flipped over. It can be attacked by all speeds of units, and it does no damage back. It is a terrible situation to have an Alpha Strike mech. You're an empty autocannon is no better than a club, I think is one of the quotes out there. It's just a terrible situation to have an Alpha Strike mech. But later on, there are cards that allow you to Alpha Strike for free without that depletion cost. And this particular unit, for 7 for a heavy, we're dealing in the 100-ton land for the Inner Sphere, extremely resilient. You see that a lot with the Inner Sphere heavies, where they got 3 armor, 11 structure. It's going to take a whole lot of oomph to take this one out. And it does the magic number 7. With a sharpshooter, we're up to 9, but we're dealing with 4 munitions, 4 logistics, 2 tactics buyout. 4 munitions and 4 logistics buyout is prohibitive. When you're thinking about an AT deck, adding another munitions in there is rough. But you can ramp into this with advanced manufacturing techniques or assault mech specialists. I like this card in the right deck. It's a really fun card to play with, very resilient. I give it a 5, and that's partly because the art in the replacement version for Comstar is fantastic.
Plus 1 for the art, hey? I look at the original card, and it just looks like a frog swimming away in an algae-covered pool and not very palatable at all. And then when you look at the CE version, and you've got Franz Vohinkel's death monster flying at you at high speed with lasers bouncing all over the place, you get a sense of what this guy is capable of. It's got to be plus 1, if not plus 2, purely because of the art on this card. And any card that guy designed or drew for Battletech is awesome. All the positives Gus said about, 3 armor, 11 structure. It alphas, which is a bit of a pain, but then what you expect with twin AC-20s. Screams for a pilot, which probably means it's an LMT deck, which is doable. And you're gonna build your resource base around that in order to pop those out at 7. It's playable, but you really got to support it in order to get it on the table.
You're gonna give it a 5, or you're gonna give it a 4 without the art bonus?
4.5 then.
Okay.
Good compromise. All right, moving on. We got a Ryokan C.
Yeah, another great frustration with Counter-Strike. And in the set notes here, I've got a Ryokan C and I've got a Ryokan Prime. And the difference between them is that the C is Ghost Bear. They are identical. They are 2.76s and that's it. And you just think, well, why not do something with it? Make it a little different. Or even make the Prime have overheat or give it an option. I know the heat sinks and efficiency and all that kind of stuff, but the Prime's basically a laser boat, and the C has got a large laser in AC-10. Give the C an Alpha or something or other. Having 12 7-cost 1A mechs is never going to happen in a deck. Most people, if they do it, will use six of the prime because of the flexibility of being able to use the other clan. And I just think it was a really, really missed opportunity. If you look at the prime or the C, if you're playing Ghost Bear, 2-7-6, it's good in draft. If you build around it with clan Big Mech deck, then it's playable, it's usable. Dennis Brooks had it in his deck as an example. But I just think the C is such a waste of cardboard in that respect. Do something different with it. Give us another option. Just a missed opportunity. It's a 4. Maybe a 7 if you went to draft.
Did this even happen much? I mean, I caught this too, just these identical mechs. Are there other places where they're just truly identical cards with one? I mean, and this is identical with one slightly more restrictive than the other, but...
I think there are a number of similarities. The Thor Prime and A, I think the one has got a big overheat option. Mm. Something like 4+1, which horrible.
Right.
I think there might be another couple somewhere else, but I'd have to go looking for them. But this is the one that sticks in my mind.
Sure. Yeah, the Thors and the Lokis are just unplayable. They're just unplayable cards. This is a terrible card design because it's restrictive. It came after the Ryokan Prime. It's restrictive. It does nothing for you. If I'm playing Ghost Bear, there's no reason why I shouldn't just be playing the Prime as well. Nobody's going to have 12 of these in the deck. It's a 2. It was a waste of space in the card design for this set. It's a low point of Counter-Strike.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's bounce to another good one. So we have the Spider 7M. Came out in the Counter-Strike as well as in the a Crusade?
No, it's Crusade Commander's Revised? Edition, Commander's the revised Edition version. Revised? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's fantastic in Commander's Edition. Go ahead, Mark.
I picked it purely for those reasons. When you look at the Counter-Strike version, it's reasonably anemic in the respect that it's 1, 1M, 1L, which are not favored asset buyouts at all. Much as it's got jump and a free deploy, it's a 0-3-1. It can't kill a dasher. It's going to die horribly. Then when they redid it in Commander's Edition, it went to 2 cost, which is playable second turn, with a 1L buyout. Okay, you still got your jump, you still got your free deploy, but you're now a 0-3-2. And that extra point makes a world of difference.
Mm.
At the start, it's cannon fodder. With Commander's Edition, it's definitely a very useful mech and one to consider with all those L-based decks and Cyclops in them, by the way. Counter-Strike, not good. Commander's Edition version, that's the one to get hold of.
Yeah, it's a 1 or a 2 in my book, the Counter-Strike version. You're never going to play that Spider. It's never going to see any play, even in fun play. It's a worthless unit. But the Spider Revised, 0-3-2 for 2 and a free deploy in logistics-based deck, refill in your hand with hidden reserves. Very, very, very good. I'd rank it a 7-8, maybe 7 or 8 in post Commander's Edition deck construction.
And it's too bad because I love this mech on the tabletop for what it does. It's, to have 8-12-8. Jumping around, for scouting recon. And I wish they had kind of taken that theme and just added, you don't need a lot of hit with it, but just added, put dash and the free construction on it, and then just kind of load up on those cool little abilities that it can do. So.
Travis, we were talking about the tabletop. I think about this, the Spider SDR 7M saw a lot of play in that other game that we were talking about, the computer game that I played with quite a few folks from the Alpha Strike and Command Circuit, which were boards for Battletech back in the day, including Cab Hammer. And this Spider was the leg beast. It moved so fast in that game, the Battletech 3025 game, that it would cause leg for your opponent, and you could get behind them and strafe them with those lasers in the back. It just is a really fun mech to play with on the computer game, but in the card game, sadly, it just really is lackluster at the Commander's Edition version.
Yeah, I had an awesome...
Counter-Strike version. Commander's Edition is definitely much better.
Yeah, I had an awesome tabletop experience with it where we did... it was a... I was an under... underweighted, basically it was a scout mission, and it was in a cavern, you know, map. And so I think, you know, the defending lance outweighed mine by like twice. And then I basically just kind of hung my three mechs back to kind of distract and kind of pull his units, and to try to attack them. And I just sent the spider in and it just bounced. And he tried to attack it with a catapult at first with no luck. He could never hit it. And then he tried to bring another mech or two in. And then actually by the end, he had three mechs trying to get me to stop me from getting out of there. And it didn't, I just bounced around until finally I got an opening and got out. Yeah, it was a super fun mech for what I was playing. But talk about other niche mech, the fan favorite, you love it or hate it. We have the urban mech, the UMR-63.
It's a trash
can. Cool art. I like the art on this one.
The egg with legs.
Yeah.
Okay. My final choice exemplifies what Michael said in previous casts about 0-5 and 2 attack for nothing for free on the points. It's a 0-1A, 1-4 armor structure, 2 damage with jump. And it can't block unless it's guarding. And you look at that and you think it's total cannon fodder, and it probably is. However, somebody made a great deck out of it that won a tournament.
What was it? All right, let's talk about the deck.
Awesome. Talk about the deck, yeah. But yeah. I think my point here is that you look at that and you discount it, and you shouldn't, because there's always realms of creativity. There's always realms of coming up with new ways of dealing with things and doing with things. So the deck is listed. It'll be in the notes. If you want to ping it up there, that's great. But basically, it runs 30 very, very cheap cost Lao units. Bulldog, Saladin, Vindicator, Jackal, and both versions of the Urban Mech. And it does not run any AM, LP, or T at all. It runs 6 specialized project teams, which are basically a zero cost resource. 6 think tanks and 6 war funds. So there's no assemblies. So if you're looking to use up all those cards, having used up all your resources, this is arguably the deck to have a look at. And basically, it just swarmed the entire board. You put down think tank, you scrap it for A, your urban mechs are a 0-1A, you throw them out. You put down one of the others, I think the Jackal's got an M buyout. Put that down, throw that out, chuck, keep going. And it covers or included 5 or 6 missions, because most of these mechs had all got jump. And literally, it was the epitome of a very, very early free deploy swarm at the time.
That sounds fun and unexpected.
And I don't think it runs any rares. That's the other thing, Mark. When you talk about these deck constructions, this is a game where you can build extremely competitive decks without a single rare card in your deck. So as far as cost efficiency, and you're thinking like the pocket of a 13, 14-year-old kid back in 97, right. You could build a deck like this and be competitive on a tournament scene for pennies.
Yeah.
Risky, I think, is uncommon. Accidental collision is uncommon. And I think most of the rest of them are... those two are uncommon. I think most of the rest are common in themselves. So yeah, really, really cheap. I think in a lot of cases the limit is actually your imagination and how you can make something perform much better than it is by synergy with other cards. You know, the idea here is a 30 mech swarm, and the using the think tanks and specialized project team, which I think, if I remember rightly, and I'm just going to check it, but I believe with specialized project team, it's tap for a resource and then it's scrap to draw a card.
Yes,
so
that's correct.
You pay nothing, you tap it for a resource, then you scrap it and draw another card. And you can't resource hunt this deck because it just doesn't have resources on the table at all.
Yep.
Awesome.
And 15 units in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with final push, it actually can push that damage. All those little two damage units, it's filled with 2 damage units. All of those can get 2 long range off of the final push. Isn't that right, Mark?
Yep. Yeah, as long as they've got two to start with.
It's fantastic.
And everything can go straight through. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to when we kind of start putting some Twitch stream or just some recorded games in general. We can play kind of some fun decks like this and see how they play out for people to enjoy. All right, so that concludes Counter-Strike for us.